You know, with me experiencing being a transformation coach, I've discovered that people really want to be better. And a lot of times people are not shown the way, but they're thrown into the way. Of any sorts, we have to meet people right there, right where they are. That's the only way we'll be able to really push for effective change. We really want to be better, and we got it.
Welcome to another episode of Ray Bridging Humans. It's the place where the people get to hear you and the world get to see it. What's up, Bridges? What's up, Bridges? We are back. I got another panel of beautiful ladies here today. Listen, we back. This is the second installment of Church Choir Girls, The Making of a Good Girl. Oh my God, y'all. As I said on the last episode, y'all know what my platform has been, what I've been doing, what I've been pushing, and I wanted to open it up to our beautiful women because we have to protect y'all. We have to continue to love on y'all, and man, the response I've gotten from this has been amazing, y'all, and I'm just so thankful that, you know, you guys can come on this platform and find you a space of peace, a piece of honesty, y'all, so I'm so excited. Bridges, I know y'all know some of these women, y'all, if not all of them, y'all know one or two of them, but please, if you have not shared the podcast, if you have not liked or subscribed to the podcast, please share or subscribe to the podcast today. I will not know what episodes to continue to record and what to not record. But I'm going to tell y'all something, though. Just side note, y'all, it's been a journey learning what people want to hear and see from me. You know, and when you're a podcast, especially when you're newly podcast, I'm a year in now, so I still feel like I'm pretty new, but you have things you feel like you want to talk about, you have some stuff, I'm going to do this, I'm going to talk about that, but no, people don't want it. They're like, I want you to talk about this, So this has been a learning experience, and also, I'll go check my website out on raybridginghumans.com, and you get all the latest updates on the shows that's coming up, or the shows it has been, and just everything I got going on right now in my world. So I'm on break from the kids helping inspire me, and so we're taking a little break to September, but I love that, y'all. I think that I have not been pushed the way that it's pushed me. I see and understand poverty on a different level because of that. You know what I'm saying? It's one thing to do the work or to like petition for the work, but to actually do the work, yeah, and get in these streets with these kids and these communities, y'all, it's a lot. But anyway, we here. Church Choir Girls. What's going on, y'all? What's up, ladies? How y'all doing?
I'm doing. Hey,
nice. Y'all good? Y'all good? I know we did a lot of good off-camera talking. I know, Ann, you got a... You know, you got told a choice word before we turned this camera on.
That keeps on giving.
You know, the gifts keep on giving, y'all. How y'all? Theo died today, y'all. Listen, Theo died today, y'all.
Oh my God.
My heart.
Yes. I was looking at social media for a minute, and I was like, dang, this man has really, like, you, every time somebody died, you realize how much light they brought to the world, and like he was everybody's big brother, everybody's cousin, everybody's like homie, like
crush,
right? He was everybody. So I promise y'all, I was like, God, dog, shoot, man, like, it was a freak accident. It was literally a freak. Did y'all saw it? How did y'all feel about that when y'all saw it? Just even now, like is it hard to believe?
Yeah,
it
was kind of hard to digest. I'm like, now wait a minute, Lord. Some people that if you just want to pick some people.
I got some.
We got some people.
Suggestions.
We got some people you can pick. Yes.
Yes, it's kind of hard when it's somebody that, like they said, we grew up with, you know, with the Huxtable kids. You almost felt like you were one of the kids.
And absolutely.
Like, he was either your crush, he was either your big brother, or both. You know, it's just like, you know, everybody remembers the Gordon Cottrell shirt. So
Yes.
Everybody started posting it. It's just like, oh, that era is ending because we're losing so many people from that time.
Yeah,
crazy.
Yeah, and it's a reminder to me to be on purpose. Like, we got to continue to be on purpose, because we do a lot. We have a lot going on, and a lot of times we're not always present with ourselves. Like, just for example, even when we're in the shower sometimes, we're thinking about what I got to do, all I got to do today, but we're never, like, present. Like, I'm cleaning my body, I'm loving on my body, or I'm doing, you know, just all the things that we do, we always think about the next moment, the next time. So, nevertheless, we are here. We are here, Church Choir Girls. Man, y'all, I have learned. And like I told the last group of women that was on the panel, shout out to everybody who's been on, y'all. I've learned so much more about y'all. Now, I've been singing with y'all and watching y'all for years. And my perspective has been from the tenor section, has been from the men in the tenor section, you know, how we're looked at, how we're discussed, and all those pieces. And I have been watching y'all for years and been around y'all for years, and just to hear some of your experiences with being a good girl. And I did my research out before I even brought this to y'all. I called Ann, and I reached out to her, you know, just and I let her know what I was doing. But I did my research out, and just the level of, I guess, good girl you guys have had to present through the years, whether you grew up in a full church environment or not, like the level of good girl you have to present to society. Because even being a man, I recognize right now, you know, even my privileges in this moment, you know what I'm saying, over you guys, you know. And so that's why I say now it's so important that we protect y'all. And I'm going to tell y'all what kind of led me to this moment, watching, because I own this shop, right, and watching the men come in and all of the excuses they found not to vote for Kamala Harris. And I was like, wait a minute, hold up. And I begged them. I'm like, wait a minute, hold on. Like a lot of guys, like me being ignorant to it, I thought that whole hierarchy thing had kind of died down.
Still here.
Y'all, like, for real, is here for real, y'all. Yes. So that's what kind of heightened my awareness in the space of Black women specifically, you know, and the things y'all go through. Because I'm a church kid, grew up in church, thinking about y'all and these experiences. Because I did Church Choir Boys. That was such a good series for me. And it was such a healing moment, healing series. So I want to bring that to this table. I want to bring that to this table today. So, and y'all, I love for my guests to let the Bridgers know whatever you want to let them know about you. But y'all, these are women that I know. I've been knowing for years. Got Nikki right here. I watch her sing like when I was a kid, like, and I know you, we ain't far from age, but yeah. I would see you. You would be so hype, and you would be so like, yeah, she be getting it. And you sung with Orange Bag. Sung with Orange Bag and Rita Quad. I was like, I gotta get Nikki on. Like, even then I saw the heart of God in you. I felt it, you know, and I felt that it was a sincere piece. It's like, I gotta get Nikki on. And then Ann, oh my God, Ann, known her for years, cut her kids' hair, did ministry with her at New D. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was so drawn to want to invite you on this episode, and because I see you deconstructing and I see you doing it in a way to where you're finding you. Like, I see you posting stuff and doing up. Like, okay, I see you. And you're continuing to find your voice. Thank you. Thank you for real. Thank you for just coming on, man. Thank you. Now, I'm going to let these women introduce them. I'm going to unleash them in a minute, y'all. So I'm trying to get my little intros out. And last but not least, we got Karen. Karen, oh, my God. Karen has been, hey, listen. Now, y'all, for real, like, this woman, like, I've cried on her couch. I've laid on her bed. Like, I'm talking about, like this woman has been, like, she's been in the trenches with me. And I'm so thankful that she's able to come here. Beautiful voice, songstress, artist. Thank you so much, K. Karen, for being here.
You're welcome. Thank you for asking.
Thank you so much, y'all. And y'all, I'm so happy to be doing this with you guys. So we're going to get started with the episode, Church Squad Girls. Church Squad Girls, we're going to get into it. We're going to get into it in a real way. And in no particular order. I guess we can do it. We can start down here, Nikki. If you can just introduce yourself to the bridge, just let them know a little bit about you. And then we're going to move down, and then we're going to get into the conversation.
All right. My name is Shanitria Alexander. Everyone knows me or calls me Nikki. I'm a business owner, educator, wife, daughter, sister. I am just generally a person who loves people, whether you are on the same plateau as me or not. I'm just a genuine person, so I'm excited to be here to share my experiences, to give some hope.
Yes.
Someone who may be going through something and some valuable tips to get out of some situations.
You know. Thank you for that.
All right. I am Ann Taylor turning into Nikki Brown.
You know. Nikki too, yeah.
Nikki Brown, you know, it's a thing. You will get into it later. But I'm just real simple. I'm a mother of three. My son had the privilege of, I think, participating in the podcast. And I mean, it blessed me to see it. I am a musician. I'm a singer. I'm a vocal coach, vocal producer, trying to learn how to be an engineer. I'm trying to be multifaceted in a world where, you know, we have to work doubly hard to be who we are, to be as good. Yes. We have to be twice as good to be considered just as good. So I am just excited about sharing whatever I can for those that are coming behind me.
Yes. Thank you for that.
Well, I'm Karen Brown. I am Karen Brown Live in the artist and performer world.
You know.
I'm just me. All I have to give is me, and me is full of love. Yeah. So that's all I have to give, and I hope you receive it.
Yes. Karen, I can remember, like, you, like, just thinking about some of the things that you had to experience publicly with yourself and, you know, losing your child and stuff like that, Karen, just all those pieces. You've done life and you've had to do it. All of you have had to do it on the main stage. You all have done it on the main stage, and you have had to go through your highs and lows from a woman perspective and still put on a smile. And still give grace and still present yourself as, you know, hey, the bold, beautiful women that you are. So I've seen y'all have to do that unapologetically. So I want to get into this conversation, y'all. I want to get to this conversation, y'all. So when y'all heard the term good girl, what did y'all think when y'all saw that? Like, what did y'all think when y'all saw that?
Where do we start?
Oh, right, like
wherever you want to. Let's go.
Well, for me, good girl meant being perfect. You know, we weren't taught how to be human.
Wow.
We were never taught how to be vulnerable or anything like that. We were really made in the image of our leader, whoever we were being pastored under, how they wanted to shape us and form us. So we really never knew our true identities. We were told to be this person before we even knew who we were. So a good girl was just, it was a bar that they put up there that we never wanted
or needed.
Wow.
We are what I like to call the flawless mess. Mm-hmm. You want me to look flawless, but you don't care that I am literally a wreck on the inside.
Wow.
We weren't given the space to say, hey, I deal with functioning depression. Mm-hmm. I smile a lot and I joke and I'm comical, but when I go home, it's bad.
Right.
When my social battery dies, it depletes, and it's like I don't like to be around people.
What bothered me the most, I think, was the fact that we could cry in worship, but we couldn't cry out for help.
No, don't do that, because you know you couldn't show the chinks in your armor. Mm-hmm. If you were on the platform as a choir member, a worship leader, a musician, and I think I've pretty much done all of those.
Yes.
You can't show that you're not okay. What do you mean? You have to go pray for other people when you literally don't have anything left to give.
Wow.
You you find yourself literally just getting accustomed to, it's just what I do. Just what I do. It's what they want me to do. So let me go do what I do. They're paying me to do it. So it becomes too much to deal with. And so that's why you have people crash out, as they say. You know, this, I'm like, yeah, that's a perfect description of what a lot of us walk through. We didn't set ourselves up to fail. Yeah. In a lot of ways, they may not have known that's what they were doing, but they set us up to fail.
And unintentionally.
Unintentional fails. Yeah.
And y'all, as we continue to dissect this, y'all, like, I want to throw this in there, and I want to hear from you, Karen. Mm-hmm. I see that there's a huge gap in between, like, and I said this last episode, but how we're programmed to look at this thing and how it actually is. You know what I'm saying? And so there's a huge gap. And so I think just what I'm hearing centrally is we all can do church in our sleep. We can do it in our sleep. But I think the issues come when we put that microphone down, or when you put that microphone down, when you put that microphone down and you had to go and do life. There was not a whole lot of, like, you know, a focus, if you will, on ways to do it. You just knew that I can't show my, you know, my stuff. I got to present the best. So let me hear from you, Karen. What was a good girl for you, Karen?
Good girl for me. I grew up in a small, well, it was a small town, but I went to church in a very small town.
Okay.
Very small church. My parents forced us to go to church, even when we didn't want to, of course. But then when it came to ministering or sharing my gift with the world, I started out in church. My sister and I started out singing duets. Then I got in the choir or whatever, and then here I am giving what I didn't know that I had. Mm-hmm. I was sharing my voice with people, and, oh, girl, you're this. Oh, girl, you're that. And, you know, that's all I would hear. But the thing is, me on the inside, I was born with birth defects. I don't have all my fingers. I don't have, the right side of my body is deformed or whatever. So I always had a low self-esteem issue.
Wow.
And people, if you didn't see it, you didn't know. But when I first started out singing, I would look at the ceiling and just sing. But this is all they wanted, the song.
Hmm.
They wanted my voice.
Yeah.
They didn't care about what I was dealing with on the inside.
Wow. And I've told a couple of my pastor clients within the past 2 weeks, I said, man, some kind of way, and I don't know if it'll ever be done or not, but I've told a couple of my pastor clients, hearing you say self-esteem, that you guys need some self-esteem and self-confident ministries in church. Like, that's needed.
Yes, it is.
Because if and think about it, y'all, just on the, especially as women, because 9 times out of 10, you're going to see women serving in ministry. You're going to see women serving in church. And so if I'm serving, I'm serving, I'm serving, I'm serving every week, every day, literally every day, like where is it that you can collectively learn to look inward? Mm-hmm. Like to lean, to look inward, to see how you're living and how you're doing. So, but even with me saying that, I'm getting off into your stories a little bit. How did church culture and what we learned, because church is in our hearts, right? It's planted in our hearts. How did that shape your worth? How did it shape how you felt about yourself? If you can share a little bit of your stories with that.
Oh, man, I've been.
Who going first?
You know, forgive us. We have to kind of gather ourselves. Yes. Like, yeah, let's, you know. There were periods of time where church, because of certain people, and the craziest part about it for some folk, it wasn't the people who always had a lot of judgment that were my saving grace. And I'll be honest, I'm going to say this, and I've said this openly. I have had more people from the family, the LGBTQ plus family, embrace me and pray me from suicide, to pray me from just saying,
come on, family.
You know. Because they didn't judge me.
Yeah.
And so with church, it had its shining moments. I will forever be grateful for the foundation of church. But it literally teaches us to not be real.
Wow.
It teaches us to be disingenuous.
God, dog.
It teaches us to give the appearance of a thing. Yes. It teaches us that you can't be honest and say, hey, I'm drowning. You know, and when you have moments where you are not your perfect self, you are literally crucified beyond belief, because how dare you not be perfect?
Wow.
How dare you actually have a human moment?
Wow. So let me ask y'all this, like in reference or in comparison to men, because I have quite a few men that watch this, and just to anything I ask is to invoke conversation. Like, what did that look like for you guys as far as that double standard, the things that you guys had to endure, you guys had to go through, and you had to be shamed and still go through? What did that look like for you?
It was awful for me. I grew up Missionary Baptist.
Oh yeah,
and bless you.
We had to go up when you messed up. You had to go up before the church, confess your sins to the people that did not save you. But you had to do it while the person you sinned with, if it was a male, he didn't have to get up. He did not get up. He kept on praying if he was a deacon. He kept on preaching if he was the preacher.
Mercy.
Kept on playing if he was the musician. There was always been a double standard when it comes to not only with us having to be a certain way, but even in us preaching in Missionary Baptist churches, you couldn't preach. We couldn't speak in tongues. Mm-hmm. You talking about a muzzle? They would put their hand over your mouth.
Are you serious?
Yes. They would sit on you. They would escort you out in certain churches, depending on how institutionalized you were.
Right.
We're just now getting to where more Baptist churches are becoming more open to the fivefold ministry, but it's not always been taught. I didn't start experiencing an actual encounter with God till I started got probably in my late teens, right before adulthood, when I started visiting other places and music. Bless music's heart. That's why I have such a love and infinity for music, because it took me other places. So I got to see how other people worship. I got to be around people who didn't know me, so I could be vulnerable.
Wow.
So, when you are a preacher, either you're a bitter woman, angry woman, or you're a gay woman.
Yeah. Wow.
And they frown on both of that.
All
wow.
Of
wow.
And if they think you're both, oh, my mercy. My lamb today. So, yeah, it goes back to the thing, you have to work doubly hard to be considered just as good.
We ain't gonna skate past that, and because I'm like, oh wait a minute, you said like y'all were, you're either a bitter woman or you were a gay woman
or both,
those were the options.
Yeah. If you preach with power, you were mad at some man that just broke your heart, and you just want to rake all man over the coal. You just sitting up here soapboxing, and it diminishes you. Who you are and your calling, and you feel weird even having to do that dance. Like, wow. Is it too much? Is it not enough? Am I saying what the Lord want me to say? And if I do, are you too masculine? Calm that down.
Right. Wow.
What is that?
Yeah. Wow.
Like when preachers started preaching, women preachers when I was growing up, just trying to be everything that they were taught. And you have to realize a lot of women who mentored or were mothers to us and taught us how to be the good girls, they were taught from someone else that was even harsher. So when we came along, they had to deal with things just like we had to. And it's always been a double standard. It's always been, okay, well, you have to deal with this. Basically, we felt used, like a possession, like, I didn't belong to God. I belong to you. I belong to this ministry, you know. And it's always been a struggle with, because we've been, I'm trying to say it in a proper way. We want the acceptance of people, but we confuse the acceptance of people and God's love for us because of how we were raised.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And the double standards that's there.
If the people accepted you and they really embraced you, you felt like you were doing something right. Yeah. So it, again, teaches you to be disingenuous, because you're not doing it because that's what you're called to. Right. You, especially if you grew up like me, I was a only kid for a long time, and either my cousins were that much older or that much younger. So I was a lonely kid because I was sheltered and I was abused as a kid. So I didn't know what real love felt like a lot of times. And the ones that in my family that loved me, I didn't get to spend a lot of time with. So I was always like the odd kid out. I had to just kind of get it where I felt it. So when you were good in Sunday school lessons, they let you speak more. Yeah. You know, when they dressed you like the pretty little girl with the, you know, you had to have a slip and the little stockings. And, you know, you looked the part. So they started early. And, again, I don't think that every instance it was intentional. I think that they just – based off how they were taught. Exactly. Right, they didn't know any better. Right. So we're not, you know, we don't want to ever make it seem like we're beating up that generation, because all of them just didn't know that that's the effect it had. Because you would actually have to pay attention really well to even know what some of us were walking through, because the other thing about Black families is we hide things.
Right. Yes.
When there's abuse in the family, we hide things. We're told, don't say that. Because it was usually somebody in the family abusing us, mm-hmm. or somebody close to the family. So you were taught to be silent. And for a woman, it was even worse because we already didn't have a voice. Yeah. And you know, they love the scripture, let the woman be silent.
Yeah, they'll quote Paul all day long.
I'll listen. They're going to quote Paul down. Karen, what about you? Like, did because I know your upbringing was slightly different. Mm-hmm. But what ways did church going shape your worth, you and how you felt about yourself?
That's a hard question for me because I didn't deal with any of that. Mm-hmm. I didn't have any of that to deal with growing up in a country church. My mom was United Methodist. My dad was Baptist. And so we focused on the Baptist, but I didn't have the issue with the men in the church or whatever. You know, I'm a little girl with handicaps, so nobody want to be with me anyway, you know? So the one thing that vividly stands out in my mind is after one service, the pastors and deacons line up and you go and you shake their hands. So I'm in line walking, getting ready to shake their hands. So the pastor grabbed my hand. He was like, give me your whole hand. I said, I did.
Oh, wow.
You know, so that right there was a self-esteem issue for me. Mm-hmm. Even though he thought he might have been helping me, he was hurting me on the inside. Mm-hmm. So I would always hide my hand and shake with my left hand. But they always wanted my right hand.
Wow.
But I don't have all my fingers, so, you know, I...
See, again, not intentional, but nevertheless.
It's the microaggressions,
for sure. It
molded
and it shaped you into being overly sensitive to, you know...
Absolutely.
And y'all, I'm going to say this, and I know I may get flack for saying this, but I feel like the further we get from away from slavery...
Oh, my God.
The more awake, if you will, that we become as a people. You know, and aware of, hey, that wasn't right. That was not right. And oftentimes, like I said, even in the nonprofit space, it's difficult to get men to volunteer. Like y'all women, y'all stands in gaps. Y'all do it. And so growing up in that and to know that 9 times out of 10, like, you guys, like, led the front, if you will, of worship. You guys led the front of church, period. You know, even when it come down to raising money, y'all frying catfish and cooking, you know what I'm saying, and bake sales, yeah, and baking cakes and things. So you guys stood at the cusp of what the DNA of this thing looked like. And so for you guys to speak the way you are up here, the silence that you had to endure, if you will, and some of the silence and the shame, if you will, just and again, we're highlighting these things because there's so many conversations that need to be had, that I pray and I speak will go on this podcast, not to hurt or harm an institution, but to bring awareness, like you said, to bring awareness, because it's people dying, and the reality is, y'all, and I don't go anymore. Nevertheless, I still love it. I respect it. I respect the people that go to it. I don't hold that for nobody, but like, fewer and fewer people are going. So what is it we can do to help save or revive, if you will, the institution, especially where Black women is concerned, because y'all carry this thing.
If we're not okay with telling the truth and the whole truth and nothing but the truth, we'll never be effective. We really have mastered the puppet show.
We pretend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's like it's a song and dance. You know, I can't let them see. So we have people who struggle with all kinds of issues, and we lie about our current condition or our past conditions, and we create sometimes a sense of hopelessness in people that has driven people to suicide. Because God must not love me, because why is it that they came out of it and I'm stuck in it? Because we have people who lie. It's not really proper to say, hey, I'm not straight.
Gosh. it's difficult.
It's not like, you know, so whatever you believe in, I don't go there, because to each his own. You read your Bible. Yeah. I read the, you know, that's for you and your pastor to argue. I don't argue scripture and things like that with people. But it's weird that you'll teach us something that is wrong and you won't accept it openly, but it's okay quietly. Just as long as you don't. As long as you don't let nobody notice what you do. What do you say? Don't let the left hand know what the right hand doing and the right hand know what the left.
That was something that carried, like, growing up. I can't remember hearing that.
And so it made people neurotic. It made people crazy. Like, you had a whole split personality because you couldn't be whoever you are and still love God.
We weren't taught to be truthful or authentic. We were always taught to wear a mask. We have always hid our identities behind all these facades to prove to people we were worthy to be loved.
Because you couldn't have a history of, I used to be promiscuous. Because for a woman, you a hoe.
Yeah.
a male musician, my counterpart, can have 20
hey,
he
children. Good. He good.
Right.
He just being a man. But if you just, you know, not even knowing that they was cool, went out with the homie, you are the scum of the earth. I'm fool. Because she smashed the homie. You know, they say all that old stupid stuff. And so they can go out and do all the stuff that they want to do. It's that male vibrato. But you do it. You just use the, you know, they just make you feel like, ugh. Yeah. It's like, she do that? Don't you do that? Yeah. So why is it wrong for me? And I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but I'm just saying, with the double standard, why is it so much worse when a woman does something than when a man does something?
Yeah, that patriarchy is a real, real thing.
And it's everywhere a real thing. In everything.
It's everywhere. It is. It is. We live in these United States. And so I think a lot of men feel like, and I can say it because I'm a man. Yep. A lot of men feel like, and I have a lot of straight and queer clients. You know, I have, and I tell them all the time, a lot of men feel like it's an attack on manhood. It's an attack. But it's like, no, bro. Like we're living in a world now to where everybody, like, you want to be seen. You want to be seen. And so we're coming off of that, hey, you just talk to him and see him and you sit to the side. No, women want to be seen. All queer people want to be seen. And so we're getting into a world we're asked to make space now. And so it's difficult. And so even where you guys are concerned, when if the good girl was a mask for you,
and
what was underneath that?
A miss.
Oh, God.
Unadulterated miss. Angry, resentful, jaded, misunderstood. Overlooked, very insecure. And you know what that insecurity did? It made me look at people, be honest, like Karen. When I would see her sing, I'm like, man, I don't have that confidence. And she just gets up there not knowing until we started talking. Yeah. At a game party one year. Yes. And we were like, hey, where have you been? And why have we not talked before? Yeah. It even makes people, this, and I'm going to be real transparent, and I've had people have said about me that I have come off like I think I'm better than people.
No,
you don't know me.
No,
I'm not judgmental. I'm hilariously crazy. I could get a check. Mm-hmm. I laugh, you know, and I tell people I laugh a lot to keep from crying a lot.
Yes,
because you would have to know my walk to understand that I have a lot that I could cry about. Nick has known me for a long time.
Yes, sir.
And she's seen some of the ugliest parts of me. And I think that's why we remain friends, because she's one of the people that I can honestly say has seen me at the absolute worst, and didn't judge me, off from me like, oh, I can't be attached to that. And it's, you know, I'm an outspoken person. If you don't know me, I'm outspoken. So if you're my friend and something's going on with you, I'm going to go to bat for you every time. Like, if you're going through something, I'm going to fight for you. I'm not going to let anybody mishandle you, and I'm just going to sit here. That's gotten me in a lot of trouble. Because I've nobody defended me. Yeah. So I compensated for not being defended by over, if you would call it that, defending my friends. So it's like, you always got so much to say. I don't mean to. You have to understand, when I didn't have a voice, I was told to shut up quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Like, literally, shut up.
But you've always done it to me, and you've always done it in a very, like, classy way.
I try.
Like, just from what I can see. And it's important, because, like I say again, y'all lead a lot of the stuff that goes on around here. And I can remember, I don't know if it was like a year ago, but I think when the girl, one of the girls had to, it was on the internet when the girl had to get up and apologize.
It was just last year.
You, like, I saw your live, and I heard, and I felt your passion.
Oh, mighty God.
Nikki, like, I felt your passion, and I was like,
no filter,
wow.
No chaser.
You know what I'm saying? And you, like, but I think, I'm telling you right now, the number of women women that came in the shop, they was like, man, yeah. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, the thing is, when you've gone through something like that and you see it still happening 20, 30 years later, you're like, are you really serious? People are still getting in front of a church when it was never a mandate in the first place. It was a man-made thing. A lot of the things that we were taught were man-made to keep us. Christianity, to me, the C stands for control.
Yep.
Controlling, you know, everything, controlling how you act, how you walk. So seeing someone who made a mistake, I'm going to tell you about my mistake. I was molested at 12. I started having sex at 13, you know. Because I was promiscuous, I wanted to know what was so much about it that you wanted to take it from me. Mm-hmm. So I tried it out. I knew I was wrong. I didn't have to have a scripture. My moral compass was already embedded in me. Yeah. So I knew I was wrong, and I knew what to do. When you're wrong, we were taught you got to go before the church. So I went before the church. I asked for forgiveness, and I did what the Bible said. I didn't sin no more for 2 years. But hold on. in that aspect.
Uh-huh.
But I went to Sunday school, so I started learning there was more than just sex that you had to repent for. So I started getting up there if I ate too much. I started getting up there if I did this or if I did that. If I cussed somebody out, if I was mean to my sister or my brother, I got to go back up here and repent. Everything I do wrong, I can't do right. I'm never going to be able to meet anyone's standards because I'm always messing up, right? So I was that set me up in a way, and I'm going to try not to cry, where it transcended in every area of my life. Mm-hmm. I became used to toxic love in church when I should have been embraced, when someone should have said, hey, it's okay, you made a mistake. You know, and I was labeled as fast because I was going up there repenting. Now, I wasn't having the sex they thought I was having. I was just getting up there going. Even my aunt thought that's why I was going up there, because I went up there at that time and I was honest about it. Mm-hmm. I wasn't hiding it because I couldn't hide from God. Mm-hmm. What I'm hiding from you from? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That's the author and finish of my faith. That's what we're supposed to believe. Yeah. Why am I hiding from you? So I went up there. I will repent and all this other stuff. My auntie talked to me one day, and she said, you got to stop all this screwing. Don't go back up there no more to you, because you ain't finna stop screwing. I'm like, no, I'm not having sex. I just did this. I did that. But they automatically assumed that I was fast, and they talked about me. They did not pray for me. They gossiped about me. They did not give me encouragement. And that's what people do, you know. And that's why I was so passionate when I saw that young lady standing up there by herself. Not, I don't know who the young man was in the church. You know, people assume a lot of stuff, saying, oh, that's the baby daddy on the drums. We don't know who that baby daddy is, even if he was even in the church. But I know from experience that I had sinned with somebody that was in the church, and I was the only one required to get up.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of stuff beats you, because it takes you to a place where you ask, thank you, baby. It takes you to a place where it – it's hard to come from. It's taken me years to undo the hurt and to undo the thought processing of thinking that I'm not good enough. I'm still fighting it. To this day, I'm 46 years old. I'm free from a lot of stuff, but mentally, I'm still in a box. It's not closed no more. The box is open, but I haven't crawled completely out of it because it took years to make me this person. You see what I'm saying? And then because I was this person, that this good girl, and I'm supposed to be like this and do like this, I started taking stuff that I didn't deserve to take because I didn't know my value. Yes. I didn't know who I was.
Yeah, right there. Well, that's how you get entangled in relationships. But you know good and well you ain't had no business.
But I'm gonna tell you, Queen. I honor your lived experience in this moment, and I honor your lived experience, Karen. I honor your lived experience because I hear the vulnerability and I feel the vulnerability even in this moment. Just your willingness to share, and I concur. Like because this stuff is. It's woven in our hearts. Y'all know how when people get married and they take like the brown sand and the white sand and they pour it together, and it's like that. Yes. It's woven in us. And even me as a queer man, you know, me learning to acknowledge who I am and be happy just for my existence. Like it has taken work. And so I feel you. In what you said, like, and I've made strides, and the more strides you make, you realize, dang, man, I'm still tied up here. But the willingness to speak up and speak out, Queen, I honor your experience, and I know like that's a lot. And even as you were talking, even as the tears flowed from you, and just think, I started thinking about all three of y'all. I've seen moments to where all three of y'all have been vulnerable, and with the microphone. Been vulnerable and had to get up and do it anyway. And I just don't. And so for me, this is healing and helps me because, like, I'm just thinking, like, man, me and my people is the ones that go through it, have gone through it. But, hell, y'all, bro, like, y'all carry this stuff on y'all backs and y'all shoulders. And y'all still get up and do what y'all do week after week and have to do it unapologetically. And y'all looked at as hoes. Y'all looked at as sluts. You know, real talk, all I can remember, like, growing up, you know, because, and where this is not about me, and I don't want to make it about me, but I'm gonna say this. Okay. Like me growing up, like, what all I knew was to try to put myself around heterosexual boys because I felt like if I put myself around heterosexual boys, like, it would make me that way. Mm-hmm. And so when I did that, I went to Sunday school with them, Bible study with them, we even sang together. And what I ended up turning into was the boy who carried all the other boys around to screw girls. And that's what it was. Wow. Like that's what it was. And so I know in manhood, especially growing up in church spaces, like it fosters you being a hoe. And to hear you guys saying what you're saying, you know, I'm what's clicking for me right now is the years that y'all carry these things. KB, the years you've carried not feeling like your body was worth anybody wanted. The years that you carry. When we talked on the phone, you know, I'm gonna block the name out. But the ministry that we ministered in together, like the things you had to go through with it, and just watch you and saying the things you've gone through. Like, I'm listening, and just I honor y'all lived experience as women, as Black women. Gosh, y'all.
Raymond, I'm a person that like to look up stuff. When you invited me here, I was like, I'm nerd by nature. And I was like, do you know the National Baptist Convention alone, the rate of women in the church is between 61% to 70%, right?
I believe it. Mm-hmm. I believe
do
it.
Do you know the percentage of leaders that are women?
Yeah. Not even a fourth of that.
18%.
Wow.
This is how we grew up.
But these are percentages now.
It's the situation last year. with a pastor here, and it was the outrage.
Oh yeah,
because it mysteriously got erased, and then I'm, you know, still always having to combat, and we still are expected, no matter what hits we take, right, no matter how much of a target we are for reasons we can't even control.
Yeah,
we are still expected
to show up.
And I'll tell anybody, if you serve in church, you need therapy.
Yeah.
you need it, for real. I go to therapy every Thursday, either 7, 6, or 8 p.m. That's my everyday appointment. And when I get, you know, when we progress, he said, you can go 2 weeks. And then if I'm like, go back to the every week, I ain't ready yet. Mm-hmm. Like, for real. And most of the trauma that a lot of us experience don't have nothing to do with street folk.
No.
I'll say for me, definitely. Mm-hmm. I went from being 115 pounds to 280 pounds.
Stress.
Dang.
Not looking in the mirror and seeing, like, girl, you getting out of hand. Wouldn't look at myself.
Wow.
Still got up and sung. And a lot of times people, you know, will wonder why certain things, why she changed her hair so much. I had to learn how to be a makeshift beautician because I couldn't go to shops. I didn't have no money. A lot of times I stood on stages with prominent people, hungry, beat up,
yeah,
told ain't nobody going to want you. Mm. Being locked in, of even a false sense of be faithful to the church. And I've missed so many opportunities. Because you don't want me to grow. You don't want me to flourish. I've even been told you'll never be nothing and go nowhere unless you're sitting right here on this org.
Wow.
Only what you do for Christ will last.
And that's how they fixed it up. Because only what you do for Christ will last. No, that's a pimp prostitute mentality. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
You see the gift that I have, you don't want nobody else to benefit from my gift.
Wow.
Right.
Lord, let me live to November 4th. I'll be 50 years old this year. Mm-hmm. And I've had to take these last 2 years and really be retrospective. I got into 2 marriages because I didn't know what real love should be, should feel like, because I didn't feel loved. I didn't feel embraced. I didn't feel accepted. I didn't look like the other people who were getting opportunities. My body don't look like that.
Wow.
I can't dress like that. I don't have this. I don't have that. I got engulfed into what I did and I did and I did and I did and I don't, I don't, I don't. And so to have mental battles every day just to get up and try to actually help somebody else and you drowning is crazy.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to ask this question, y'all. This is it's probably going to be a crazy question, but even in ministry and church spaces, because I'm saying this for awareness, because I think we just kind of like think that church is a different space from what we say the world is. But yep. Even in church spaces, all three of you are ministers in your own right. Like you said, you gained the weight and body type. Did y'all see biases with your body type versus a woman with that is like got the Coke bottle and all that kind of stuff?
Of course. First preference. Even it ain't even in church. Like, I always refer to Martha Wash. It's raining, man. Them jokers and Patty Austin, some of the coldest vocalists, but because they were overweight women, they just took their voices and put it with pretty bodies.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So it's really, it's kind of embarrassing to say and shameful to say. It ain't that different in church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For some churches, they don't body shame because most of the folks in there don't have the right kind of bodies.
We from together.
But there are some places where it's a fashion show. I really didn't know about when my first marriage, my ex-husband was Kojic. He grew up Kojic. So I didn't know anything about the Kojic religion, other than, you know, that was just their denomination, right?
Yeah.
And when I started going around his family, baby, when I say a fashion show, you had to be on point on with point. Everything.
Mm-hmm.
All the conventions and stuff they went to, baby, they went in there wearing all kinds of furs and possums and raccoons and everything else. And it taught you how to be high fashion. And when Ann said she would be on stages sometimes, not with her hair, doing her hair herself, because she had to look a certain way to be on that stage.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
you couldn't go back in the day. Like now, when girls sing, now they take their shoes off, their heels off.
We couldn't do that.
Baby, you couldn't take your shoes off.
You talk about the worst cussing, don't you, Elf?
Wow.
You
know, things change, but those are things that were embedded in us, and we had to be those type of women.
That's why we got
gals and arthritis. I had a Coke bottle figure when I first started singing. Stress in life took its toll. I started gaining weight, and I just learned how to dress my weight up. Mm-hmm. That was the thing. That was the saving grace, but I think what I want to go back to something you said earlier. You was talking about shame. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to go there, but
yeah.
we were talking about shame. It is amazing to me how people not only body shame women in church, mm-hmm. but shame them for being human and open. We have mm-hmm. never been able, we have always been silenced. We cannot be open.
Wow.
Cannot be open. I'm saying that from the standpoint, I got a wife now. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't, my folks that knew me knew, you know, I had a little motto. I didn't never think I'd be married to a woman, but I was always a bisexual. But I couldn't be that and be a minister. I'm an ordained minister. I'm an ordained minister.
Nah, what you talking about? What you talking about?
You're going to get excommunicated.
But I will say this. It was more acceptable for a girl to like girl than a man to like
girl. Oh, y'all got it. Right.
It was more acceptable.
Yeah, y'all got it. That's yeah, real. We can't. Nah.
We can't, but it's still.
Your black ass. Nah. No, for real.
Yeah, that's what they would say
now. So you have to deal with all these things, and we But to internalize all that stuff and to push away from ministry because you don't feel like
mm-hmm.
the God-given gift in you, you're worthy even to carry it.
Man.
You're not even worthy to carry it because you don't deserve it because you don't matter. That's how you end up feeling mm-hmm. over time. It don't happen overnight.
Yes.
Over time.
Yes. And we're going to shame, too. We're going to go to shame. We're getting ready to go there. This is such a good conversation, y'all. I like the level of relationship I have with the Creator now is second to none because I had to eject. And a lot of what I've heard all three of you say, like so much of us being involved was for the people. So much of us being involved was for the people. The performance was for the people because we wanted the people to think we were good little Christian boys and girls. We wanted the people to think and feel that. And so much of that had to do with how they felt about us. But how much was God? How much was for the Creator? How much every time we got up, you had to make sure you look this way first. You sound this way first because I have a hypothesis now, and I got a lot of friends that's preachers, you know, and a couple of them cringe when I say this, and I've said it and been saying it for a while now. I feel like your success in ministry is contingent upon how well you can hide your shit. Mm-hmm. And
well, where's the lie?
You know, that shouldn't be it should not be, because if we all are humans. That's why the name of this show is Ray Bridging Humans. Like, to show humanity, like, we all are on this earth. We all live in this earth. We all want to please the Creator. We all want to be good in the Creator's sight. Who better than who? Because you got a call, and you got a call, and you got a call, you got a gift, and we just got different gifts. But to the conversation, and I want to get back to shame, because a lot of that hiding your stuff, to your point, the silence, mm-hmm. shame was in the silence. Mm-hmm. And how did shame keep you in line? Like, how did shame, and who benefited? Who ultimately benefited from the silence that you had from shame? Gosh.
The people that employed me. Woo-wee. Hireling.
Gosh.
Well, at least you were paid.
Oh, wow.
They said,
yeah.
They said don't hook and cook for free, but, you know.
I drink to that.
Yeah. I volunteered for years. But because I love God and I felt like I was giving back to God what he had given to me, and they wanted it for free. And I didn't mind doing it because I was doing it for my love of God.
Right, right.
But over time, it got taken advantage of.
Yes, that part right there.
It got taken advantage of. And, well, let me say this. So, for ministry, that was my gift back to God. Because I sang R&B and any other kind of music as well. Mm-hmm. And when I'm all outside of the church and I'm performing everywhere across the world and getting paid for it, I didn't mind coming back off of a gig at 5 o'clock in the morning. I got to be at church. Because I would come to church and change clothes to get on stage to sing.
Bless you, daughter.
Because I was volunteering, but I was giving back to God what he had given to me. So,
I remember when I was after my divorce, I started dating this guy and I got pregnant.
Okay.
Ordained minister, praise and worship leader.
Okay.
When I told my pastor I was pregnant, he had a meeting with me. He said, you can't preach because you're pregnant. But did he take me down from praise and worship?
No.
Absolutely not.
Wow, really?
Want to know why? Because he benefited from it.
I played for you, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
You was there. And it's just amazing to me that a lot of leaders are unaware of the hurt. People say church hurt doesn't exist. It does.
Yes, it does.
Yes, it does.
That kind of stuff damages people. I am good enough for this, but I'm not good enough for that. So you can use my gift for your benefit.
You're not getting in trouble for you.
That God gave me.
Huh? I got in trouble for you for that.
A lot of people got in trouble for me. I ain't going to call no names.
That is
But it's such a real thing, and I promise you, and I'm going to say this first, because church is relational. It's a relationship. Yes. And so a lot of times you can't see the clearest when you're in deep relationship with church. And I'm going to live with it. It took me to back up to be able to clearly see. And so I do not like when people be like, the church didn't hurt you. The people hurt you. The people out of church.
Yeah.
People with their whole chest about you. You talking about no church.
The people are the church. And so when it comes down to shaming and silence and to the points you two made, y'all know we would do 5 services
in one day
like and back
come
to
home
back
and be
to
in
back
a coma.
yes what we sleep
Need
the rest of the day
IV.
Yes
and iron lung, cause yes we literally and at one point when we were doing having to set up, we weren't just serving on stage, we would set up, break down after serving, after having served.
Yes, yes.
So we were not just, just musical stuff. We had to literally, be manual labor.
And to put it in context, we had to park across the street. We couldn't even park on a parking lot.
The Saints were skinny back then because we worked out walking.
If they saw you parking up front, you would be asked to move. We could not be late.
I'm talking about Shane Show.
All of that. And we would get through singing in one service. Drive to Collierville. Some would drive to another town in Mississippi and come back and do 2 more services.
I stopped at 3. I stopped at 3.
But when I think about all that, it speaks to how passionate we were about serving.
Because we loved God.
We loved
the fellowship when we were doing what we're doing, because we felt like we were so close to God. I remember those encounters and I'm like, oh my God. Yeah, I was always in trouble. I was toting y'all off the stage because we were going over time and we weren't trying to. Mm-hmm. I mean, the encounter of the Lord came in, and we respect logistics and all that, not saying that at all. But it's just like we could not have put our bodies through that kind of punishment if we didn't love God and we didn't love the gift, you know, to give the gift that he gave us, we understood that as quick as he gave it, he can take it.
Absolutely.
Yes.
I've gotten up in there when I've gotten foolish and the Lord just snatched my voice and would not one note come out.
Yes.
So it's, you know, we that false sense of being faithful, we're taught wrong. God didn't intend us to batter our bodies to the point where we can't function on other days. Child, by after Sunday, it took me to Wednesday to get right for Sunday.
Losing jobs.
Do you understand what I'm saying? We went through the silly phase when we were community choirs, getting fired because we were lying. I'm sick and we out of town on the bus. You know, we wasn't right bright as children, but we were young and we've learned better. Baby, I go to work.
Go to work.
I punches the clock. Yeah. I still play for church, and my prayer is really to actually retire from that so I can be free to do more things, because there's more to life than just being stationary. Again, I've missed so much, and there's so much more that he keeps showing me. People think because he showed you stuff outside the church, you done lost your relationship with the Lord. No, I'm quite finding it.
Yeah.
As I find myself.
Yeah.
I'm quite enjoying the journey, because I was raised that you could only give your gift of music in the church. Any secular music was demonic.
Yes.
How dare you? I didn't have that experience.
And so, and I was going to ask you too, like, did you ever get any flack? Because I remember you would pack the Rumble Room out with shows downtown. But did you get any flack for that?
Over the years, from a childhood up to my adulthood, I would get a little flack, but it didn't bother me because I would be focused on the fact that God gave me the gift to use where it's supposed to be used. And see, the thing is, a lot of people that come to the Rumble Room didn't go to church.
Yeah.
I brought the church to them.
You did. we would have church in the Rumble Room.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely.
Yes.
That's
probably
the best church.
Mm-hmm.
Uninhibited.
And I could genuinely stand up there and be myself. I didn't do anything out of the way, and none of it was scripted or planned.
Right.
When that's God beautiful. Entered the room, he came out.
So let's I didn't even plan this. Let's go here for a minute, because the people that's watching, that you're active in ministry right now. I'm talking about you don't miss a beat. And I know some of the things that you're hearing right now. Like could be problematic for you, honestly. It could be problematic. It could be like you could be watching this just to see what you can pick apart. I want the panel, like, from your perspective, speak to your relationship with God now, the Creator. Because if all of us are not in the capacity that we all once were, where are you now? It's a two-part question for all three of you. Where are you now? And if you are still in the space, or if you desire to go back to the space, or if you just want to speak to people who's still in the space, how can the person that's watching build a better relationship with themselves as well as the Creator to move forward in the space? So I think it's a loaded question. I say one more time.
No, but it's a good question.
Where are you now on your journey? Because that's who it's about. It's about Christ.
Yeah.
It's about the Creator. It's not about none of this stuff. Because guess what? When we leave here, all this stuff's still gonna be here.
Yes.
And we gotta meet the Creator for ourselves. So where are you now? And how can the space get better? Who can you speak to on here? Like the little girl in somebody else that's watching this episode.
For me, my space now, I actually have a strong relationship with God. I had to unlearn what I was taught about him and relearn what he is, learn who God really is. Education is a big part of that.
Yes.
A lot of people go to church, they do not read the Bible, nor do they know how to rightly divide the word of truth. Mm-hmm. So for me, I would speak to, if I had to speak to someone or my younger self, be who you are, be authentic, be real, because that's who God created you to be.
Yes.
You are not a mistake. Whoever, no matter your sexuality, no matter how you built, disabilities. It does not matter. God create you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And some things in life you're going to go through, and God's going to see you through them. It took me going to a seminary school. When I went to Union University to get my bachelor's, I had to take some prerequisite courses, so I took theology. I'm a preacher, so I'm going to take theology. And a preacher, and I'm finna say this, a preacher that didn't know the word of God the way I thought I did, because I went based on things to how people taught them to me, and then I had to read books and educate myself, and I read books that weren't in the Bible that talked about the Bible that helped me to put things in context.
Perspective.
Education. People perish for a lack of knowledge. Yes. When you learn how to use the Bible for a roadmap instead of a leash to keep people in bondage, things will get better. So if I'm speaking to someone out there, whether you're a young lady or a young man, keep going. Keep believing in yourself.
Yes.
Keep trusting the process, because I am 46, and I'm just now getting to a point in life where I'm balanced. I understand things better. So you gotta unlearn some stuff, and then learn what is truth, you know. So hopefully, you know, that's something that one of us say today that can help steer you away from depression and want to commit suicide and all these things that we had to face. Because I know I got up singing praise and worship a many days telling people how good God is, and I hated God. Because I hated him because of what I was taught he was. I feel like I hate you because you hate me. You don't love me. You couldn't love me. I done served you all these years, and I'm going through all this stuff. I'm dealing with all these things, and I got to take all this mess from a man who's over me, who think he has a God image. It was horrible being under the kind of leadership where you have a man who you could speak into their life but wouldn't receive it because you're a woman. Yep.
Y'all hear.
So just keep going. That's the only thing I can say. Just keep going.
It's all good. Well, I would just encourage you to read the word for yourself, because a lot of the things that I was taught and a lot of the things that I would hear all the time, people chose to pick certain scriptures to use to make you believe one thing.
Absolutely.
But you got to read what's before and after what they say.
Yeah.
Because there could be a whole different story. It could be a whole different meaning. And I've also realized that once you read a certain scripture one time, you go back and read it again, it could be a whole other thing. It really depends on where you are in life.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It depends on where you are in your mind at the time. So get to know it for yourself and let it allow you to make your own decision. I love God. I had to pull back from church for a minute. Yes. And then once I got back into myself, I'm learning so much at 55. I'm still learning.
Wow.
Let God do what he does through you.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. All right.
That was beautiful, y'all, by the way. Yes.
Delicate. So I've never not been in church, mainly because I've either sung or been a musician or did both. But there have been times when I have been playing and I was the last place I ever wanted to be. I'm here because it pays the bill. I'm going to be honest. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It paid my bills. I didn't really find God. And I've been in church all my life, mm-hmm. from the womb. Never not been in church. Only time I missed church was when I was in childbirth or having a surgery. I was the joker that would never miss church because it didn't feel right to miss church. You just didn't do it. So during the pandemic, when things greatly shifted, is literally where me and God actually met.
Wow.
Because everything that church was stripped away from us. We couldn't go gather. So if you didn't have a real relationship with God and you didn't have the people's energy in the crowd, because, you know, if you're a performer, singer, musician, we feed, we pull
off of the energy in the room. So when people are engaged, even when you're tired, mm-hmm. and I know, Karen, you can attest to this, even when you have not felt your best, if the crowd is, you know, you can push a little harder.
Push a little further.
And you give what you didn't even know you had left in the tank. Wow. It's no different with church. So when the pandemic shut everything down, and we weren't at one point not even able to be virtual at first, I had no choice, but I had to look at everything that, like Nikki said, I knew church to be, and I was taught that God was, but like, no, that really is not it, because ain't none of this helping me where I am. I am literally about to drink myself into a stupor. Mm-hmm. I am literally about to run myself up a wall in this house. So I had to do what? I had to start talking to him. So I will tell anybody, something that she said, every time you read the scripture, you should get a different revelation. If that scripture is saying the same thing to you in your 40s and 50s that it said to you in your teens and your 20s, you're missing it. Mm-hmm. Stuff started making more sense because I didn't have what was being crammed down my throat sitting in church, because that's what they knew. Mm-hmm. That was their understanding. That's why in 2 Timothy 2:14 it says, study to show thyself approved. Yes. So you can rightly divide the word of truth, so you won't be ashamed. The shame is to walk around in ignorance. What they say, ignorance is bliss.
Yes.
So a lot of us in church are wonderfully ignorant.
Real talk.
And because being ignorant, willful, there's no real accountability for me being this or that. Because if I say, well, I didn't know, how long are you going to keep saying you don't know? So God was like, how long are you going to keep running from me? Mm-hmm. You really think I gave you this big old gift just to sit in a Sunday morning service and sing an A&B selection, sing praise and worship, play Amazing Grace? And as a little girl, you used to have concerts in your mama's living room singing to the masses. I've shown you visions where there's a sea of people, and I was just pouring out, and it wasn't church music. Mm-hmm. Here's the evolution of Anne to Nikki Brown. It's not me running away from God. It's me running to him.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes.
He spent time with me. I spent time with him. We said, it's okay. This is really who I made you to be. Because the folks that I'm sending you to are not in here. It's too much pretension here.
Yes.
These people don't want to be better because they're too busy pretending. Wow. I want you to go after the folks that I'll never set foot in the church because y'all play too much.
Wow.
You look at me stupid when I come here high out of my mind.
Not
let me clothe you, not let me love you, not look at a little girl who this is all she got to wear. Yeah, it may not be appropriate for church, but that's literally all she got.
All she got.
Yeah, they smell funny, but that's, you got a shower.
That's all she got.
You going to take them home with you and wash them?
Yeah.
So my focus changed. I can sing about love. I can sing about what's going on in the world and save somebody's soul. Because in the midst of me telling you that Sunday, mm-hmm. I was singing Summertime. And God is funny with me. I walked in. I let her say, I'm listening to your voice. You sing. And you can sing. She said, but you a preacher too. I said, I can't hide nothing. And we had the Manhattan supporting our friend. And I didn't feel like singing. I was hoarse. I had just been in a hot church. I'm like, okay, but when you support people, he's my producer and he's my friend. We grew up together. You know, we joke like, you know, he didn't like me at first because I'm a girl that could play just as good as he could. You know, that was a running joke. Yeah. So I started singing Summertime. And when I got to the Don't You Cry, I started affirming people, it's going to be all right. I know it looks ugly. It turned into a real organic churchy moment.
Absolutely.
And it scared me because God said, this is where you belong.
Yes.
That's what.
Yes.
I'm going to say something real crazy.
Say it.
I ministered to more women on my live on Facebook, or more people.
Come here now.
On my live. Cussing and acting a fool. And God, and I'm sitting up there just acting a fool, and then somebody come on my life, and God will give me something to say right then and there. You know, gifts come without repentance. We learn all this stuff, right? Everything we need is we're already equipped with
created.
We're
the foolish things that confound the wise.
Right.
It don't make sense that we can be this, what y'all call carnal.
Right.
And worldly.
What is that?
Didn't want going to no church house.
He was not.
He was ministering to the people outside, and I think I meet people where they are.
Yes.
That's what you all do.
Yes.
That's what you're doing. We're meeting people where they are, giving them what we've learned, and giving them what we've unlearned.
Yes.
That, you know, right there.
So we're stay balanced right there now. And it's crazy. All of us have had to have some kind of a back from going to church at some point. I visit from time to time. And it's not. I enjoy going virtually online, getting a word, and staying home in my gown. I don't have to worry about listen to you talk about Sister So-and-so. I don't have to listen to any of that. I can serve God in my home and not be bothered.
Oh, honey, they think we not existing because, you know, we done retired off of the scene. I mean, it was not as deliberate as some people would think. I couldn't do it anymore. Yeah, I literally could. I'm like, I can't do this. All right. I had to walk through a season where my personal business was before me when I wasn't before people. And it was the shame of, I can't go out here because I'm singing to people. You know, and mm-hmm. you sit up here looking at me like, girl, back, because you did da, 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 da. Mm-hmm. So, I ran from that. And I don't ever want anybody to think that I just have a real big disdain for church, but I got a real big disdain for church. Like the conventional sense of church, made it versus what God intended it to be. Because what we do is not what he intended.
Right.
Because if this is what God intended, he's not a just God. Yeah. And that's not true. Yeah. He doesn't intend for us to be this foolishness that we contend is okay. I'm be honest. I'd be uncomfortable when I go to church, and that's something that people would never think I would. What you would hear me say at one point, it got so bad. I'm like, Lord, are we still good? Because I don't feel. I'm to my phobia almost hanging from the chandeliers, about to lose their mind, speaking in sheeps and tongues, and I'm like, I don't feel nothing in here.
What is this? But I'm on. I'm going to tell you something, man. And I said this last week, y'all. And anybody who's watching, you said, Raymond, don't go. Raymond, why he don't go? Why he? I like the level of work, mm-hmm. to your point, the level of hard deconstructing I've had to do to get to this healing space I'm in. Mm-hmm. Like, there's nothing I'm willing to do to renegotiate that. And hear me. I'm a man. I can be corrected. I can stand to be chastened. I like all those pieces. Like, that builds me. But if I have to go back in a space, and certain parts of me have to go in the closet just to be a leader,
I'm not gonna do it.
I'm not willing to do it no more. Y'all, I'm just not. I'm not willing to do that no more because I did that. I did that for so long, and I'm not willing to forfeit my healing just to be a leader in the space.
Man.
And that's where I am, y'all.
I just don't think you're effective as a leader if you're not honest.
Yeah.
We always nice it up. Mm-hmm. Make it pretty. We make it so oversimplified. We oversimplify stuff that's not simple, and we complicate stuff that really ain't all that complicated. And so it's really quite maddening for the person that is wrestling with, should I go and should I not? I literally, and I, you know, now that I've kind of started back kind of going and supporting different people, and I will say this openly, it has been no love lost with anybody. It literally has been about self-preservation and protection for me. So when it's unsafe and it feels insecure, I'm not secure, I don't go. My other thing is I'm a big thing about energy. I don't ever want to take that energy and disrupt somebody's flow. Like, hey, do you?
Yes.
Right.
This ain't for
me,
though.
It's not for
me. So I'm not going to come sitting in your midst in what you do and ruin that for you. Mm-hmm. If you want to do a cartwheel in the middle of the mob, baby, go be great. I ain't going to join you.
But sis, I think that's difficult for, and I know we it's on subject, but it's difficult for people to see that they feel like it's a either or, and we live in the yes and. Like I can feel the way I feel, and I can respect you. Yes. You know what I'm saying? And so it's difficult when people are used to it being either or. Either you're this or you're that, and this is what it is. Mm-hmm. And that's just not the world we live in. For real, it's not the world we live in. And I can truly respect you. If you, like I got plenty of friends that still go, Just yesterday, one of my closest friends, I just got off the road this evening coming from Nashville. He and we was taking him to Nashville for his birthday. Nice dinner. We gonna hang out and everything. We had to wait on that man to get out of church yesterday. We had to wait on him to get out of church just so we could go. And we all were like, we was kind of like, but we respected it. You know what I'm saying? That's because true. That's what you do.
That's what right. you do.
You love it. That's what you do.
Ain't no hate. Ain't no love.
Ain't no love lost. And so, like, learning respect, if you're not in, like, if I'm not in that, you got to learn how to respect.
Yeah, I don't have to like or agree with what you do or who you are. I have to respect you.
Absolutely.
I have to respect your right to choose and live how you want. This is why I don't debate with people. Like, when you get out of breath, your pressure is high, mm-hmm. arguing with people, they are still going to live their life, and you are still going to live yours. Get over it. The hardest, even with this transition for me now, the hardest thing with the good church girl image, people can't see me doing R&B. They can't see me doing neo-soul. They can't imagine me doing jazz. So I've started strategically posting just little things. So you understand, I'm musical. Don't put me in a box I was not designed to be in. How shallow of a God would I be serving if all I could do was sing to you good church people?
Mm-hmm. When your gift is called for the masses.
That's real call to the nations. Woo. It ain't about no prophetic mantle. God bless you, those that have it. I am prophetic. Mm-hmm. God uses me when he sees fit. But if you are so close-minded that you think that this God who created the heavens, the earth, and everything above and below and in between, who says, my thoughts are not yours, my ways are not yours, your understanding is not like mine. The God that says, 1 year with me is 1,000 years with you, and 1,000 years with you is 1 day with me. When he says, I'm not in the constructs of time and space, I made time and space. Right. How are you going to tell God what he can purpose my gift for?
Right. Mm.
How can you tell me about a God who, when I was a mother out of wedlock sitting on the organ, he still used me to save somebody's soul with a bun in my oven? I'm all right. You can't tell me that God is not amazing when I was getting my tail towed up mentally, verbally, and sometimes physically.
Yeah.
And still getting up on the stage at a church and singing my heart because I was singing through what I had just went through.
Wow. And yeah, you know what, y'all? Yeah, this episode has turned into something that I didn't think it would.
Yeah.
But
God is awesome.
But I am thankful because I feel the authenticity in the room. I feel the healing in the room. And if you are not, if you're watching this and you're just not used to this, it's okay. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you right now, and I say this with all love and endurance, especially with women who's watching, like we represent thousands.
Upon thousands.
Upon thousands of people. This is not a one-off. We're just not people who just don't want to do the norm or don't want to be status quo. No, y'all, and this is, and I think that so many of us live this thing and do this thing, and people are afraid if I do anything different from what I was taught, then it's not right. I'm renegotiating with God. No, because time changes and time moves on. But as we round out this episode, because y'all said a lot, you know, and my prayer and my desire for all three of you, even the three women who was on the last episode, that you all can go and create, like, healing spaces. And I am, just as all three of these women are, I am a connoisseur of the Word of God. I believe in the Bible. I intentionally don't bring it to this platform because we've used that 66 to hide behind so much shit. We've used it to hide behind. And so I intentionally, like, you come here, your humanity has to show.
It
has to show. Yeah. And so, and to y'all points as well, you know, as we close out, It's 2025. If you only surfacely read the 66 and you don't go any depth, you don't do any other digging, if you only, like, you are behind.
Yes, you are.
You are behind. We are in a world full of technology. We can read, y'all. We know what's going on. We understand what's happening. And for you to be in this thing in 2025 and you're not going beyond to understand the context of when things were written, mm-hmm. who they were talking to mm-hmm. yeah. in what context they were talking to them mm-hmm. in, I'm going to say this and I'm going to close this out. I follow a lot of theologians, mm-hmm. a lot, because I like depth now. Mm-hmm. I like depth. And to even be willing to have this conversation with you women, like it's depth for me because I'm learning. I'm learning about y'all lived experiences just like ours. A theologian said something to mess me up. This was a white man. This was a white male theologian. He said, if you've done the work to renegotiate what slavery meant from a biblical standpoint, you've already done the work that it takes to renegotiate all the other stuff, too.
Mm. Well,
that is powerful.
If you have in your head, if you have renegotiated, mm. because that's how black theology was created, because we didn't want to stand behind slavery. If you've already done the work to renegotiate what slavery mean for you, mm-hmm. you've already done the work that it takes to get over a lot of the other biases you have in your head, especially where it concerns black women. I brought it back. And I love y'all. And I thank y'all so much for being willing to be open and vulnerable with your stories. And I want to continue this. And I take all suggestions, you know, because like y'all just do it. Women, we as men, we cannot do this thing without y'all. We can't do it without y'all.
Cannot.
Vice versa. We need each other. And so I think spaces like this has to be built. Like, even when it comes down to ministry spaces, like, I can see in the future so many ministry spaces, like, built like this. Mm-hmm. Like, built like this. Not the formative, like, we're going to go mm-hmm. to this building. For real, we're going to go to this building, and we're going to all pretend. We're going to put on our best faces and pretend. Mm-hmm. No, like, I got to see your scars. Mm-hmm. You got to see my scars. Like because that's what, when Jesus walked with the disciples, they saw each other. Right. He did life with them. Mm-hmm. They saw each other. And so the only way we can help, the only way we can be empowering to each other, I'm going to show my scars. Show yours. Y'all know how hard it was for me to get on this thing and say I'm a gay man. Yeah. But that was hard. Yeah. That was hard.
But you did it.
But you did.
I did it.
Do it afraid.
And so because like, and I'm not saying that as a scar. I'm saying the scar was me and my self-esteem, my yes. self-confidence. Like how I saw myself. When I sat here and when I told one of my brothers I did ministry with at the church we served at for years, I said, man, I told him this probably about 5 years ago. I said, bro, I'm just now seeing myself as equal of a man as you. Wow. Just now.
Wow.
That's a problem. If I've served in ministry with you for 10 plus years and I didn't see myself as equal of a man as you because you are a heterosexual man, that's a problem.
That is a problem.
And that's just me. Yes. Think about the countless amount of men who feel that way in those spaces because like, you may know somebody is gay or you may know somebody, mm-hmm. but you ain't talking about it. Mm-hmm. No, you ain't dealing with it.
Right.
Real talk. And so, and this space I'm creating is not just for queer people. It's for humans.
Yes.
That's why I got these beautiful women on here, because it's a nation of us who are tired of not being heard. Tired of not being seen, and we just want the real. Yeah. Thank y'all so much.
It was an honor. Oh,
thank y'all so much for coming on. I want to have all of y'all individually back. I want to have all y'all. I'll talk to y'all about it later.
Room up. love. Like, yes, I can see.
Yes.
Like, yeah. Folk do TED Talks. Come on, TED Talk this right here.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you a good subject. You want me to tell you on here?
Or, you tell me on here.
Baby, you think church girl, good girl is a good subject? Talk about hurt or relationships between daughters and mothers.
Hey, listen, that's a whole other lane.
A lot of people talk about what sons go through with fathers.
But mothers and daughters. No one talks about
the mother and daughter dynamics, the good, bad, and ugly.
And I'm here for that.
It is a story. You will be amazed at some of the things that some women have gone through with their mothers. Some stories are beautiful. And then there's some.
Mighty God.
Wow.
Baby. So wow. That is.
You seen the that movie, is something Mama that, Dearest?
I think you will be great at doing.
Baby.
So just look into that because this is a beautiful platform.
It's peaceful here. It's safe here.
I feel free to say
that. No apprehension about talking and being free because it's like, oh, we got to be careful because, you know, he may turn it into something.
He's going to put me out.
These old sound bites. No, it's free.
Yeah.
And that's why I can see this room being full of people coming in and it takes on a whole nother thing. Like, we are talking to people versus them watching it, like a live audience that can be in tune with the emotion of what we're talking and pass this mic around so we can answer questions or they can, like, how do I? I love those environments because that means you are astute. You are hungry to know. Mm-hmm. You do better when you know better. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if you give me something that's going to save my life, I'll be forever grateful.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
And this church.
Yes.
This
yes.
church. This yes. is church.
It is.
Yes. Yes.
This is ministry.
This
real
is.
Ministry.
And I'll say this because I feel it in this moment, like for all three of you, for all of us, like real talk, like if you're ministering like we're doing now, if you ever lose the essence of people looking at you and they can't say me too, mm-hmm. you've gone too far. You've gone too far because in leading and ministering to people, you have to be willing to show a level of your scar.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You just have to be willing to do that. You have to be willing to expose that. And
naked and unashamed.
Naked and unashamed. If people cannot say me too when they watching you.
It's a problem.
No. You're a God. You're a God. Mm. You're a God. You up there. Mm-hmm. I can't contend with that. So, anyway, I'm going to roll out here, y'all. Thank y'all so much. I love y'all. This has been another episode of Ray Bridging Humans, the place where the people get to hear you and the world get to see it. Love your family. Peace.